Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our sermon text this morning is Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So far our scripture reading. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord, for your word is truth. Amen. The sign of a true master. One at his profession or art is that he makes it look easy. I'm sure you guys have noticed this before, maybe the ice skaters in the Olympics, or maybe even your mechanic. You take the car in, he hoists it up, tinkers around, he has it back on the road and purring in 20 minutes, and you wonder why you spent $200. Surely I could have done that myself. But when you try and do it yourself, it doesn't end so well. Probably you guys are pretty good mechanics. Maybe you guys can do this as well. I remember very well about 10 years ago, an email that my brother-in-law sent me about a certain website. And if anyone who didn't really know much about websites, just a normal person, went to look at this particular website, you probably wouldn't really think anything of it. It looked like a pretty normal website. But for those who had some experience in HTML and CSS at that time, you went to look at it and your jaw just dropped. Because it worked so well. And it was so proficient. And that's, again, the sign of something done well. It looks easy. It looks like no big deal if you don't know what you're looking for. And that's what we have in our gospel reading this morning. We have the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. And on the surface, it seems like a pretty, maybe mundane account compared with many of the other accounts of Jesus' life. There's no great big miracle, is there? He doesn't still a storm. He doesn't feed 5,000 people with just a few loaves of bread. He doesn't give us some amazing parable like the Good Samaritan or the Good Shepherd. He just goes to eat with a man. And yet when you stop and look a little deeper, you recognize that the master is at work, doing something that is truly amazing. Because he takes Zacchaeus, a thief, a selfish, money-grubbing thief, and completely changes him. Creates out of him a believer who loves the Lord and loves his fellow man. And he does it in one short afternoon. Jesus shows himself in this gospel reading to be the Wonderful Counselor that Isaiah prophesied and promised so many years ago. What makes him a Wonderful Counselor? Well, one thing that a counselor needs is an ability to understand the problem, to know what's wrong. And Jesus understands the problem in a way that no one else ever will or can. He understood that Zacchaeus was a sinner. Now the Pharisees called Zacchaeus a sinner. You may have noticed that in our gospel reading. But they didn't really know what they were talking about, did they? Their reason for calling him a sinner was very surface, very petty. Very limited. He worked for the Roman government. He was a tax collector. Jesus knew the true depth of Zacchaeus' sinfulness far better who reaches out to help. He doesn't turn up his nose. He doesn't walk away. I'm reminded of one of the houses that I went to visit in Africa. And it was one of the few times where, a lot of the places I went were probably not up to the standards of what we would think of as clean and decent. But this one was another level below. The whole place was just a stench. It just made my skin crawl. And every second I was at that house, I was just praying to the Lord to give me strength to remain there until I was done with the teaching. And yet, the people who lived there were showing it off. They're telling me, look at this nice couch we have. Look at this house that we have. They were very proud of it. Because they didn't understand the stench that they dwelt in, the filth that they dwelt in. Like us, isn't it? We come to church and we confess, like we did this morning, that we are sinners and that we need the Lord's mercy, but we really don't understand the true stench of our sin, the true filth that we live in every day. We probably even brag and show off, at least in our own heads. Look at me, I was in church. Jesus understands in a way that no one else ever could the depth of our sinfulness. And Jesus is the one who reaches out to help, not leave us sitting there. He is our wonderful counselor. He understands the problem that afflicts all humankind, but he also understands that we are individuals with individual problems. There's no great miracle, I said, like the stilling of the storm, like the feeding of the 5,000 in this account, but there is one miracle that Jesus does. And that's he looks, he sees Zacchaeus, and he knows him by name. He calls to him immediately, Zacchaeus. He knows him as a lost sheep who needs help. As an individual, he calls him by name. It's very tempting for doctors, psychologists, therapists, counselors of this world to quickly label people and to deal with them according to those labels. Okay, this is the term for your problem, and this is the term for your problem. We'll put you in that group, and this is how we deal with people in that group. Jesus knows us each individually. Yes, we all have the problem of sin, but it also is an individual problem with our own individual weaknesses and strengths, our own individual needs. Jesus reaches out to us individually. As our good shepherd, he knows when we need a little encouragement. He knows when we need a little discipline. And he's there for us. Very often, the greatest truths and the greatest hymns are the children's hymns, aren't they? I'm Jesus' little lamb. Calls me every day to say, even knows me by my name. Jesus is our wonderful counselor because he knows each of us and gives to each of us what we need. He knows our problem. He knows us by name. But most importantly, he has the power to help. And we see that very vividly in this account, don't we? With a single phrase, Jesus changes the heart of this sinner, this thief. A few weeks ago, we had our first snowfall, which was a indication for me that it was time to clean out the garage. Have to make room for both cars for the winter. During the summer, we usually just leave them out behind. So I spent the afternoon cleaning out the garage, making room. And then I moved the Subaru in, and then I went to move Vanessa's Buick into the garage, and it wouldn't start. And it wasn't a battery problem. And, you know, if it had been the battery and run down, it was easy enough to jump start it and get it in there. And I really wanted it in the garage, so there was really only one choice left. Start pushing. And I got it a little bit of the way, pushing by myself, but then, you know, that driveway up to the garage over there, it's a little, not much of an incline, just a little bit of an incline. And the pavement was a little slippery. So I couldn't get it up that incline. Vanessa came out, we pushed together. And with a lot of work and a lot of effort, we got it up the incline, but then we came to the garage itself. And the cement floor of the garage is maybe that much higher than the asphalt of the driveway. Seems like a pretty minor bump most of the time. But when you're pushing a car, it's a large impediment. There was no way we were getting the car over even such a small bump as that, no matter how hard we pushed. And I got the tow rope out and tied it to the car. I was there in the front of the car with the tow rope over my back, pulling as hard as I could, and Vanessa was pushing. It was not going home. It simply did not have the power. I couldn't pull it. Because right in the garage, you can't pull it because the back of the garage is in your way. But I finally realized that, well, I can back the Subaru up and tie the back hitch of the Subaru to the back hitch of the Buick, and then pull it in that way. And of course, with just the tiniest effort, the Subaru got the Buick up over that bump and right in the garage, no problem. We didn't have the power, Vanessa and I, no matter how much we heat. No matter how much we've worked at it, unless you have power, no problem. And that's what we see in this account as well, isn't it? We don't have the power to change the hearts of men. So the power of God was at work here in a much stronger way than we really even understand. Now, you can look at the outward circumstances, the outward actions and words of Jesus. You can talk about the power of love, that he reached out in love to the guy. You can talk about the power of forgiveness. And all of that would be somewhat true, right? You can help people little bit by little bit, like when Vanessa and I were pushing the car before we got to the garage, with a lot of efforts and a lot of love and a lot of forgiveness, you can help people little by little. But to really change their hearts, there must be a power at work there far beyond those simple things. To reach into the heart of man and to change him. You guys are all familiar, aren't you, with A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens? A wonderful book, wonderful movie, especially the Muppet version, the best one. I like watching it. But it's a lie. Isn't it? Because even if you could summon up the ghost of Christmas past and present and future, it wouldn't be enough to change the heart of anyone, much less someone like Scrooge. Maybe it would make them afraid for a little bit, but it wouldn't last long. In the power of God. That alone is the only thing that can change people's hearts. And instill in them the love and the joy of Christ. How many pastors, therapists, psychologists, doctors wouldn't love to have access to the power that was at work in this account? So people who work with people for years and years and years and years and see very little change, no matter how much they try to help them, how much wouldn't they love to have access to this power to in one day just change the heart of people? The Lord doesn't give us this power, not directly. Because he knows that we would change people's hearts to what we think is better. We would change their image and probably mess them up even more, recreating them in our image and what we think is best. But that power is still there for you. It's still at work through the gospel, through the proclamation of Christ and his love and his forgiveness and his death on the cross. That power is at work amongst us, so that when it is working to change the hearts of sinful men, it is changing them into the image of Christ, who is proclaimed in that gospel, not reshaping them into something even worse, the image of a selfish, arrogant man. This is the joy, the wonderful news of Advent, that Jesus is our wonderful counselor, who just like he did for Zacchaeus, wants to come and have dinner at our home, wants to come in our hearts. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted. That included us. So Jesus is reaching out to us as well. Come down. I'm going to your house. I'm going to your heart today, so that I can be your wonderful counselor. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds.